You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
I'm going to be speaking from a story today, which I feel is just a great reminder, example, and encouragement to get us ready for 2024. You know, it's the first Sunday. Happy New Year, by the way, to everybody. First Sunday of the year. And with that, I feel like there's some truths in here that if we take on, it will make this year the best year yet. Amen. Who wants to have the best year yet? We all do. Amen. So Mark 10, verse 46 is a story, and it goes like this. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Today, we want to talk about how we need to throw it off in 24. Come on, we got to throw it off. Let's go into 2024 free of what held us back in 2023. Let's start fresh. Let's start empowered. Let's start healed, free, open, unhindered, strong, healthy, and peaceful. It's time to throw off unbelief. It's time to throw off fear, anxiety, jealousy, control, wrong mindset, sin, and strongholds. So who was Bartimaeus? Well, there are two meanings to his name. And in the Hebrew, his name translates as the son of the unclean one. Son of the unclean one. His name declared his reality. Careful what you name your kids. Unclean. So every time they called his name out, they were speaking over him saying, "You come from an unclean family and you are unclean." See, the Jewish culture at that time saw people that were sick as unclean. So people that were blind were not allowed to enter into the temple, into the house of God to worship. They were seen as people that were unclean and couldn't be in the presence of God. How wrong they got it. And yet, his blindness created his uncleanness. So not only was he called unclean, he was treated as unclean. Maybe you can relate. Maybe there were labels people called you when you were young or even now that have stuck with you all your life and defined your reality. Maybe you were told, "You're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid." And you've always felt unintelligent, always felt not good enough because of the label, the name they called you, you were stupid. His blindness stopped him from getting a job, probably stopped him from getting married, enjoying life. And maybe it was a generational curse because they said he was the son of the unclean one. So maybe he didn't actually do something wrong to get the blindness. Maybe he was born into it, was passed down from generation to generation. Whatever it was, this issue, this sickness impacted his entire life. How many times do our issues, our dysfunctions, our sickness impact our life? And it may be a curse from a family member or somebody down the lines, and we just live, well, that's just the way this family is. That's just what happens in our family, a curse. Maybe it's fear. Fear is something that is holding you back. It impacts you. It decides who you marry. where you study, what work you do, what places, how much you serve in church. Maybe it's unbelief. That is your issue. It impacts the ability to see miracles, to see the supernatural, to even get close to God. Maybe it's unforgiveness. It's impacting your prayer life, your ability to love and have good, healthy relationships. Or maybe it's sickness. It impacts your ability to enjoy life. And we've had many people who have gotten healed from allergies. And I talk to them, and sometimes I say, I had this allergy all my life, food allergies, and I just lived with it. Or everyone in my family had this allergy, and I cannot believe how free life is. When I go to dinners, I don't have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I can only have this, or do you have this? They can live free because they're free from that allergy, that issue that was on them, and it only came from being healed by Jesus. Does your name declare your reality? His passion shifted his reality. See, Bartimaeus, it says, heard. He heard Jesus was coming. He'd never seen Jesus. He'd never been around Jesus. He'd never seen any miracles happen with his own eyes. He'd never watched a podcast. He'd never been in a service, never been in a meeting. But he had heard from the word of mouth about Jesus. Testimonies are for people who have never seen Jesus. They're there to hear what he has done in our life, and it is our responsibility to spread those messages to people who have never seen Jesus. They will hear before they will see. He couldn't even see Jesus. He'd never seen Jesus. But he had heard, and it stirred up his passion. His passion rose up, and he began to shout. And he gets told to be quiet. Shh, be quiet. Don't bother the master. Shh, no. So he gets louder. He was persistent. He didn't give up. He can't see him. Remember, he can't see him. He's shouting out into the darkness, Jesus. Be quiet, be quiet. So he shouts again louder, Jesus. Oh, he must not have heard me. I'm going to shout even louder. His passion shifted him from being a blind beggar to a desperate shouting son. He didn't give up. Don't give up calling for Jesus's attention. You may be blind. You may be from the wrong family. You may have issues that have bound you up. You can still open your mouth and you can shout, Jesus, regardless of what or what. Who's around you or what people have said to you. That's why prayer is so important. Keep persisting in prayer. They'll never get saved. Yes, they will. They'll never turn around. Yes, they will. Keep praying. Keep coming to prayer meetings. Keep believing. Our global prayer nights and our weekly prayer meetings. Keep joining in for those prayer requests that you have. Don't give up. If he had given up the first time, there'd be no story. But he kept going despite what people said around him. And you know, when he called out Jesus, he called him as Jesus, son of David. Did you know that Jesus, son of David, hadn't been named in the book of Mark till then? Jesus was known as Jesus from Nazareth, where he came from. But this blind man calls him son of David. What was the significance of that? He was declaring the messianic prophecy over Jesus's life. He was declaring what the Old Testament said, the Messiah would be the son of David. So when he calls out to Jesus, he's going, hey, I know you. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior of the world. You have come to save us. I'm calling out to you. He knew who Jesus was. He approached Jesus with full of faith. Full of faith. Keep praying for your unsaved. I felt to say that today in the worship. Keep praying for the unsaved. You might have shouted out to Jesus, Jesus, save my child. Save my spouse. Save it. Keep praying. Keep persistent. It may feel like it's really dark right now, but don't agree with unbelief. You know, my grandmother was unsaved for many years, and I was about 5 years old. I remember sitting in her lounge room, and I said, Nana, do you have Jesus in your heart? And she said, no, no, dear, I don't have Jesus in my heart. I just believe that, you know, in everything, something like that. And as a five-year-old, I remember I said, if you don't get Jesus in your heart, you're going to hell. Like, I had started preaching at a young age. Anyway, I remember feeling so burdened about my grandmother that I would pray every night before I went to bed from the age of five all the way up till about 10 years. I would pray every night, Jesus, save Nana. Jesus, save Nana. Jesus, may she know you. May she have you. Well, my grandmother, when she was about 59 years old, she was very, very sick, and she was in her room, and she was about to die. And we were all praying, and suddenly she had a vision of Jesus coming into her room. And Jesus came and talked to her, and she accepted Jesus into her heart. We didn't give up praying. She had a supernatural miracle that came in. We couldn't have done it. We were overseas. She sends me a telegram. For those of you who are young, that was not the app. It was a little thing. She said, Nana has found Jesus. After all those years, not giving up, keep praying, keep being persistent, keep shouting out the name of Jesus. Will you allow your passion to shift your reality? You know, his identity defined his reality. See, in Mark 10, in the Passion version, it says, so he threw off his beggar's cloak, jumped up, and made his way to Jesus. Some historians say that the cloak that Bartimaeus was wearing was a beggar's cloak that the government used to issue to beggars to label them as beggars. So wherever Bartimaeus would walk or be, just by his clothing, you would know, okay, he is a beggar. It was his identity. So he was wearing his identity, which was his reality. And he's sitting on the side of the road, but when Jesus calls to him, he throws off his cloak. He throws off his identity. He knows he's not coming back for that. He's not going back to get what he used to do. He's heading to Jesus because he's about to get an identity change. Maybe we got to put our identity aside. Maybe we need to throw it off before running to Jesus. Maybe it's our culture. Oh, our culture is not so loud. No. We don't do all that praise jump. My culture doesn't do that. Maybe we need to throw it off. How about our age? Oh, I'm too old. I'm too old to praise. I'm too old to shout out the name of God. Maybe it's our gender. Oh, it's not ladylike. It's a bit undignified. Maybe it's our status. I'm a leader. I'm a pastor. I'm an ex-pastor. I can't be seen to be desperate. Or maybe what we identify ourselves with is our issues. I'm just a fearful, cautious person. Throw it off. Run to Jesus. I'm just OCD. Throw it off. Run to Jesus. I'm just the worry type. Throw it off. Run to Jesus. I'm just stressed. Throw it off. Run to Jesus. I'm just the emotional type. Throw it off. Run to Jesus. I'm just shy. Throw it off. I'm just the one in the Enneagram. Throw it off. Run to Jesus. Oh, I'm just an introvert. Throw it off. Run to Jesus. Oh, I'm melancholic. Throw it off and run to Jesus. We got to throw off our identities, that which is that what we identify ourselves with, and run to him for our miracle. Bartimaeus had no pride. He had no unbelief. He throws it off, what the world had defined him as. And it says he jumps up. Didn't say he got up slowly. He felt his way up. He jumps up and he makes his way to Jesus. Remember, he's still blind. He still can't see Jesus, but he heads towards Jesus. It would have taken effort, but he didn't care. People were watching him, but it didn't matter. He was so desperate. And he had no cloak weighing him down. Are you desperate to start 2024 with your old identity thrown off? Does your identity right now define your reality? You know, his humility changed his reality. See, Bartimaeus first asked Jesus for mercy. He recognizes he's a sinner. Despite whether it was his fault, his family's fault, if he was born with it, it doesn't matter. He says, God, would you have mercy on me? He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for position. He didn't even ask. He didn't start with, heal me. It was, have mercy on me. He recognized his sin. When Jesus asks him face to face, what do you want me to do for you? He says he wants to see. He's self-aware of his issues. He's honest with himself. Jesus didn't say to him, do you want me to make you see? I mean, that would have been obvious because, you know, he comes up to everyone and be like, Jesus, it's clearly obvious what his issue is. Why are you asking him what you want him to do for you? But it's interesting because Jesus, a few scriptures earlier, says the same question to James and John. Same question, different answers. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And Jesus says this, what do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. How different are the two? One is, I got issues. I just want to see. I'm honest. The others were, hey, we want power. We want position. We want glory. We want to be recognized. We need money. We need this. There's two different responses, but the same question. You know, Jesus, he will always ask the same question. Whether you're going to answer selfishly or you're going to answer honestly, Jesus is asking you today, what do you want him to do for you? Will you allow your humility to change your reality? You see, he was humble. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, I want to see. Jesus always is moved by humility. His faith transformed his reality. See, seeing how Bartimaeus had approached Jesus displayed his faith. He shouted out to Jesus before seeing him. He shouted out, that's faith. Shouting out, calling out to a God he'd never seen, never met before. He came to Jesus before getting his miracle. He steps closer. He draws near to Jesus before he even gets something from Jesus. And he answers Jesus before he had his vision. So many times people are like, well, Jesus, if you do this for me, then I'll come. If you give me money, then I'll give to miracle offering. If you let me marry that person, then I'll serve you. You know, if you let me heal you. Hitting some strongholds there. I forgot where I am. But we have these conditions sometimes. What if Bartimaeus was like, hey, you heal me, then I'll come. Hey, I'm blind. I can't get up. Don't you see my cloak? Don't you see where I'm sitting? You're asking me to get up and go to you. I don't even know where you are. How can I do that? But Bartimaeus did not allow that. He had such great faith that it drove him to move and run to Jesus. And Jesus answers him instantly. He replies, your faith has healed you. It was Bartimaeus' faith responding to Jesus before seeing him, answering Jesus before his miracle. And instantly he was healed. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is a powerful force within us. When we are desperate for a miracle, we have to have faith to shout, to come, to ask Jesus, to not agree with unbelief. I encourage those parents whose kids are away from the Lord, don't agree with what you see going on at the moment. Don't agree with unbelief. Agree that they're going to come back. Have faith that they will change. Have faith in who they are going to become. Those of you with spouses that are away from the Lord, have faith that they are going to come back to Jesus. You just keep going, keep persisting, keep praying. Your faith is a powerful force that is outworked by action. Bartimaeus, he actively got up to Jesus. He actively pursued Jesus before he even had his breakthrough. Then his purpose altered his reality. See, once he got his miracle, Jesus says to him, Mark 10:52, in the New King James Version, it says, go your way, your faith has made you well. So Jesus tells him to go his way. But if you keep reading, it says that Bartimaeus ends up following Jesus down the road. He made his way Jesus's way. Jesus didn't even say, follow me. He healed him and said, go your way. But Bartimaeus is like, my way is your way. I left my identity back there. I've left my issues back there. I'm not going back to the side of the road. I'm going to follow you. His purpose was changed, and therefore his reality was changed. So he went from sitting on the side of the road begging to walking on the road with Jesus towards the greatest moment the earth would ever experience, the cross. See, Jesus was heading to Jerusalem to be crucified. And Bartimaeus was right there following him. His purpose changed. When we get our breakthrough, when we get our healing, when we get delivered, when we have God change something in us, break that family curse, our purpose needs to change. We need to change. Where our direction needs to change. We can't just get a quick fix and then think we can keep living the way we always live. You know, we have spent hours sometimes praying with people for deliverance, and, you know, depression leaves them, anxiety leaves them, but then they go back to their same old life, doing the same old thing, and they get same old bondages come back on them because they didn't change their purpose. You got to change your purpose. You got to follow Jesus. You got to follow him. I remember I sometimes get text messages from people who were in our church many, many years ago, you know, and they fell away, you know, school, kids, sports, tuition, all that sort of stuff came, and carriers that were very involved that stopped being involved, and life just happened, and then we don't see them for a few years. And then I get a text, Pastor, can you pray for us? Our child is going through this, or this crisis has happened, and or this has happened. And sometimes, you know, we pray for them, we see their breakthrough, and then we see a whole shift in their lives. And then sometimes we pray for them, we never see them again. It was like, what was the point of that? Like, your breakthrough must change, your healing must change, your purpose must change, your direction. Sometimes we want our reality to change, but not our purpose. Oh, I want this to change, but I don't want to change the way I'm doing my life. No, Bartimaeus, he followed Jesus. He made Jesus his way. See, when your purpose changes, the way you look at things will be different. The way you see your workplace, it'll be a mission field now. Not just your colleagues, they are there for you to minister to. You will see your family differently. They're just not an annoying mother-in-law. That is a mother-in-law that you are going to minister to. Your goals are different in life. The way you spend money becomes different when you follow Jesus. There is a purpose to your breakthrough and your healing. Has your purpose altered your reality? And then lastly, his name reflected his true reality. See, commentators believe that Mark, who wrote the book of Mark, deliberately named Bartimaeus in the story. If you read other stories about Jesus, it says the blind man, it says, you know, or a lame man. But Bartimaeus gets named by name in the story. And commentators believe that was because he was still well known in the early church. So it was like, hey, you know that guy Bartimaeus that's preaching all the time, that's running all the ministries? He was that guy. He was the blind guy. I'm talking about Bartimaeus. Yeah, I'm talking about Bartimaeus, the one who got completely healed by Jesus, the one who followed him to the cross. That's that guy. There was a purpose in naming him. And at the start, I said that Bartimaeus had two meanings. And I told you the Hebrew meaning of it, which meant unclean. The second meaning is in Greek, and it means son of he who's highly prized, or son of honor. He went from the son of an unclean to the son of honor. He went from defiled to highly prized. He went from dirty to clean. See, his name always meant that, but now his name reflected his reality. He was the son of honor, and he is highly prized. When you come to Jesus, you get a new nature. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Same name, new meaning. Doesn't matter what you were born into, what society called you, what life has thrown on you. When you come to Jesus, He can heal you and you become a new creation. Shame goes. Condemnation leaves. We had a lady in our service in the 9 a.m. who was listening to this, and she always felt ashamed of her name. She'd had sexual abuse attached to her as a child, and it made her hate her name. It made her not want to be called by her name, so she changed her name so that she would not be reminded of the trauma of when she was a child. When she heard this today, when she heard that that stigma could be taken out of her name, she responded to Jesus. That shame, that condemnation lifted off her. She told one of our pastors, "I want to be known by my name." She got her dignity back. She got her honor back because she came to Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.